Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 26th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
The dogs that have the shortest lifespan are the supergiant dogs.
If you ask a reindeer what time of day it is, it would probably have a bemused look on its face. But if you asked it what time of year it was, it could probably tell you with greater precision than almost any other animal on the planet.
Animals which have brains which are bigger than we expect for their body size are smarter.
This week, we'll answer some listeners' questions about whether the size of a dog is related to how smart it is, and whether big dogs really have shorter lifespans. We'll also tell you why animals tend to be larger at high latitudes. But first, Suzanne learns some surprising news about one polar animal, the reindeer.
Most mammals have a circadian rhythm, an internal clock that controls their daily activity cycle. But according to University of Manchester neuroendocrinologist Andrew Loudon, reindeer lack this timekeeper. He and his colleagues found that the genes controlling the circadian rhythms of other mammals are switched off in reindeer.
If you ask a reindeer what time of day it is, it would probably have a bemused look on its face. But if you asked it what time of year it was, it could probably tell you with greater precision than almost any other animal on the planet.
Loudon says reindeer don't have much need for daily clocks in the high Arctic, where it's dark nearly 24 hours a day in the wintertime.
My hunch is that living at those sort of latitudes, it's probably not a good idea to have a very strong clock, because if you did, it would drive your biology in an inappropriate manner when there's no external light-dark cycle and prevent you from being opportunistic and feeding at certain times of the day when you need to feed.
But they do need accurate annual clocks so they can start breeding when their offspring will have the greatest chance of survival.
Strange beasts. Okay, well, thanks, Suzanne. Speaking of the Arctic, scientists have long known that animals grow larger at high latitudes than they do closer to the equator. Now, University of Houston ecologists Chun-Kai Ho and Stephen Pennings have a new explanation. Pennings had already learned that herbivorous insects prefer plants from high latitudes over the same plants from low latitudes.
It turns out that their preferences actually are revealing differences in the quality of the food, that the high-latitude food is better.
Now Pennings and Ho report that three different herbivores all grew bigger on a diet of high-latitude plants than on a lower-latitude diet. Pennings says that the plants from cold climates appear to have more nitrogen, which makes them more nutritious, and have fewer toxic defense chemicals. They also are softer and easier to eat. And it may be that bigger herbivores make the predators that eat them bigger, too. Next, Suzanne tackles some listener questions about dogs.
A listener named Amanda wants to know if a Labrador Retriever has a larger brain than a miniature Dachshund, and whether a larger brain makes a dog more intelligent. We consulted University of British Columbia canine expert Stanley Corin, who confirms that labs do indeed have larger brains.
But the really important thing is the size of the brain compared to the size of the body. Animals which have brains which are bigger than we expect for their body size are smarter.
Corin says labs have bigger brains for their body size than mini dachshunds, and that they're more intelligent on average. He adds that dogs have several different kinds of intelligence.
The first is what we call instinctive intelligence, and that's what the dog was bred to do. So retrievers retrieve, and herding dogs herd, and guarding dogs guard, and that sort of thing. And you can't really compare that. The second type of intelligence is what we call adaptive intelligence. That's what the dog can learn to do for himself. And there's lots of differences, you know, within individuals. So, you know, we can find some Labrador Retrievers who could probably get into Harvard Medical School and some Labrador Retrievers who go, duh, right? And there's a third type of intelligence, and that's what we call working and obedience intelligence. And that's really the doggy equivalent of school learning. So that's how much the dog will learn if he's given specific instruction.
Corin says when it comes to trainability, experts agree that the brightest dogs are Border Collies, Poodles, and German Shepherds.
And number seven is a Labrador Retriever.
He says the least trainable dogs are Afghan Hounds, Basenjis, and Bulldogs.
One should not think that these dogs are useless. The Afghan Hound is arguably one of the most beautiful dogs in dogdom. But he has a specific instinctive intelligence. You know, he chases antelope and gazelle. That's what he was designed to do. And if you've ever seen one of them run, you know, you'd understand. Unfortunately, we bring them into the city, and, you know, there are no antelope and gazelle for them to chase, and they don't take instruction very well.
We received another question about the size of dogs this week, this one from Matthew Atkins of Culpeper, Virginia. He wants to know whether or not it's true that large dogs don't live as long as small dogs. I asked Professor Korn about this.
Smaller dogs, generally speaking, live longer than larger dogs. The dogs that have the shortest lifespan are the supergiant dogs. So these are dogs like Mastiffs and Borzoi and Irish Wolfhounds and that sort of thing. When we make them bigger, we're fiddling with certain genes, and probably the organs are just not really up to supplying that large of a body. The failures which we tend to get in these really big dogs usually are things which involve heart and lungs and that sort of thing. So it may well be that it's the cardiovascular system or the respiratory system, which just has not kept up in terms of its efficiency. But there's more involved. I mean, if we look at the overall life course of the bigger dogs, they have a relatively long puppyhood, and then they have the adult period, and then they begin to show all of the signs of aging by the time they're seven or so. So, you know, there's something more going on. It may well have to do with the way the chemistry works, the way the immune system works. We're not fully sure. That's one of the active areas in terms of research which is going on in veterinary science.
But he says there are some exceptions. Flat-faced dogs like pugs and Pekingese have a harder time breathing and are more susceptible to infections.
Having your face, you know, flattened has a few problems. First of all, it pairs the flow of air somewhat. You know, it's much easier to sort of clog the nasal passages and that sort of thing. So that's not good if you're going to get sick and get any respiratory ailment and that sort of thing. The other reason is that there's really not enough space in their mouth for their teeth. So their teeth are all sort of shoved together in their little pockets, which sometimes form around the base of the teeth. And some dogs will get infected in the mouth, and those infections run to where the blood flows the fastest. So that will be around the heart, and that will tend to kill them.
He adds that some tiny dogs like Chihuahuas and Yorkshire Terriers are just too small and also have shorter lifespans. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question on the show, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have more exciting and scintillating science stories for you. But if you just can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.